gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning. It's the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City. Ask me how the Big Out 100 party was.
How was the Big Out 100 party?
Well, until I started twerking on Deborah Harry and got thrown out, everything was fine.
Oh, Lordy.
Thanks for asking.
So you were up to like three, probably?
Right.
Doing
right.
Poppers.
I think it. Yeah. It was the. It was the touching Edie Windsor with the giant styrofoam finger that I think was the final blow.
Oh.
But up until then, a good time was had by all. Yeah, it was on. Oh, here's the funny. This could only happen to me. It's like a, you know, episode of I'm way below D list, like Z list.
Yeah.
So, because I'm one of the Out 100 honorees, I had to walk the red carpet.
Yeah.
You know, where they take your pictures and interview you. I had, of course, had the bad timing of getting on the red carpet right when Deborah Harry got there.
Oh,
so,
God.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. So that was a little embarrassing, as everyone was, as you can imagine, taking her picture and interviewing her. And so one person went, "Are you in Blondie?" No.
I'm actually one of the people being honored tonight.
Yeah. No, not even Devo. He goes, "Can you get me close to her?
I love her.
I was like, I don't know Deborah Harry. But
I've dreamt of being in Blondie, but that's a different.
Oh, see what you did there.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
That's a story for another time altogether, Jim. Yes, she has, wow, she has impressive hair. It was a wig of some sort or something. But did I stay late enough to actually watch her sing? No, I did not. Because even on this coast, I am a loser.
Was it a lot of fun, though?
It was really fun. It was great fun. It was. Roland and I were dressed like prom geeks. I was wearing a long gown. I made him wear a tux. We were entirely. We were Ducky and Molly Wingerold in 16 Candles.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of those. Who knows?
One of those.
Movies. Right.
The
exactly.
Breakfast Candle Club or something.
Right. Breakfast Candle Club. Something.
Candles.
Whatever.
Not just for
really?
Breakfast anymore.
All right. So anyway, thank you. Thank you, Out Magazine. Thank you, Out 100. Very, very exciting. So that's why Mama is in the big NYC. And
we're barely on.
Still drunk.
Yes.
But, oh, that's right. And we just got on the air like seconds ago.
Yeah.
Because let's tell this story.
If I sound a little flustered and like I'm doing things in here, that's...
Right.
Yeah.
Because someone had taken our... What's it called, Chris?
It's called a Zephyr. It's an ISDN unit. It's kind of Jurassic technology at this point, but it's a broadcast standard for doing remotes and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, someone decided to clean up in here and move things around, and they forgot to hook it up again.
I'm guessing, Jim, that there was a light broken on that Zephyr, and they took it up to their shop to fix it up there.
That.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And right after Christmas, they were going to bring it back here.
Yes. And so, you know, they...
We're
they...
like, oh, the thing... And so I was literally... Because, you know, every now and again when I'm particularly...
drunk?
Right.
Drunk,
I am, you know, accused of phoning it in, but I was to do the show on the phone. until about 20 seconds ago, correct?
That is correct.
Right, and right.
Yes, about 30 seconds before we went on the air, I said, "Hang up your phone, we got it."
Right. So a little broadcast news, a little taking a little peek behind the scenes at the Mama Show. So there we go.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I was going to, you know what I think I'll do in the meantime is I'll write a racist column. Let me just... Because Rocky Mountain Mike has sent us a little, it's a little tribute to the guy that wrote the, because in honor of my being in New York City, with its awesome new mayor-elect, the interracial marriage, the interlesbianonic marriage.
That's right.
His wife, a former
lesbian.
I know, maybe she will be featured in Back In 100, I don't know.
Something tells me she could turn on a dime. I'm just saying.
But at any rate, yeah, he wrote something highly inappropriate about people having a gag reflex. Really? In 2013, when they see an interracial couple? I don't think so. And neither does Racy.
Washington Post editorial.
You have a deadline. You're typing away. And the right thought just doesn't come to you.
A gag reflex when considering the mayor-elect of New York, a white man married to a black woman and with two biracial children.
It looks like you're about to type something racist. Huh? Can I help?
What's this?
You need Racy, the racist paperclip, new from MicroSlur. Whether it's simply political incorrectness or full-blown hatred, Racy can help you.
I can give you pointers with words like and.
Even if you don't mean to be insensitive, Racy the Racist Paperclip is there for you to make sure your term paper, essay, or newspaper column appears to be bigoted and small-minded.
You can say that interracial marriage makes you want to throw up.
Racy is free and bundled with MicroSlur Word N.O, MicroSlur Inappropriate at the Office, and MicroSlur Paint with a Broad Brush. For the right slur, it's MicroSlur.
Mountain Mike. All right. And tonight, Mom is going to Broadway.
Broadway?
As you knew, yes, Broadway does go for booze and dope, as you know. Well, at least what I'm
Stephanie talking. Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
Yep.
So you come crawling back to Broadway.
Yes,
I Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now you
yes,
get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
Well, and by man, you mean Roland.
Right. By the man, I mean a gay man.
Yeah, you know. What other kind of man do you find on Broadway?
Oh, I do have a man waiting in hour number three, sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
You do?
Yes, will be live in studio with me. And also, I'm guessing, the creepy guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Oh, he has a new adjective? Creepy guy?
Yeah. Well, because don't you, whenever he's on the air, isn't he just creepy? Can't you, like, feel it?
Yeah, he's a little lecherous.
Yeah, he has that low creepy... That, you know, it's not even a pervy thing. It's just a rich Uncle Moneybags creepy voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I own you.
Yeah. Exactly. He just stands, like, slightly in my peripheral vision just to creep me out.
Yeah.
Oh, while I'm talking. Like, I pay for every word that comes out of your mouth.
Oh,
yes. Our good friend Hot Bree in the city, Melissa Fitzgerald coming in, a bunch of other friends. We're seeing... her old colleague, Dulé Hill, is in Broadway on Broadway in After Midnight.
Oh, cool!
Supposed to be fabulous. We're all heading out to the show.
Is that like a Broadway version of the movie?
With other show.
Is that a Broadway version of the movie After Midnight?
I do not know. I will let you know after I see it.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right.
All right. Oh, so obviously the president had a press conference yesterday. It was right when we got off the air.
Yep.
About And, you know, you feel like your insurance, you can keep it, yada, yada, blah, 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 uh-huh. Website, blah.
What do you think
about
all
I just
this?
Thought ironically, Chris, ironically, yeah. You know high-strung, sexy liberal tour director Roland, who I was staying with?
Yes.
Testicular exhibitionist Roland?
Yes.
He was even more high-strung. Yeah,
how many times have you seen his balls?
Is there a way of monetizing that? Being a testicular exhibitionist?
Only, Jim. Only. But at any rate, but he was more high-strung than yesterday, ironically, you know why? Because of a internet glitch, an anomaly. We announced the big Albuquerque, New Mexico sexy liberal show yesterday.
That's right.
And the box office went, he was having a nervous breakdown because he looked like no tickets were being sold, and it was only because the ticket link, there was something wrong.
Oh.
And they fixed it. Magically, they fixed it.
Oh, good.
And... Kablooey, the box office went insane, and Roland was saved.
Yay!
Dear
waving his balls at everyone in Manhattan in some sort of breakdown yesterday. Anyway, yes, and so, by the way, he says go quickly because the box office has done gone insane. Hit it.
Dear Republicans, this coming election year, progressives everywhere want to thank you from the bottom of our bleeding hearts for being you.
Go!
From your war on women, thanks for pissing off half the country.
Oops.
To the government shutdown, absolutely brilliant.
You must be stupid.
We'd send flowers to each and every clown and carnival barker in your broken, dysfunctional party, but instead, we're throwing a party. On Saturday, May 10th, the world-famous Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico for some good old midterm mocking. Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will perform live on stage at Popejoy Hall. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com. Don't miss the sexy liberal Schadenfreude.
What the hell is that?
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, May 10th at Popejoy Hall in Albuquerque. Go to unmtickets.com.
Yay!
Hooray!
All right, thank you, Shano. And by the by, a lot of bitches be crazy, Chris, but Madison bitches, I believe tickets are almost gone for that one.
Really? It's almost sold out?
Huge theater, yes, huge theater in Seattle for the final 2013 Sexy Liberal December 14th. That is approaching sellout, as is Phoenix in Wachahoosets. That's in February, for God's sakes.
I know.
What
I can't wait for that one.
I know, you're going.
I right? am.
Right? Because we got us a family. You're going to get the friggin' huggies. Go!
Is he coming funny shapes at all?
I love it so much.
Turn to the right.
Sorry. That movie is so quotable.
Everybody fine? Everybody settled.
All right.
Okay. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, so we run along Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City.
Not bad. Like Frisbee Golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I get it. See, I get it. Just rubbing in the whole incident. I understand. the wound is still fresh of getting thrown out of the Out 100 party in New York for twerking on Deborah Harry. Fine. Rub it in. There was a rumor that Mariah Carey was going to sing, too. I have no idea if that happened.
Well,
because Mama does not stay up that late.
That's right. Oh,
who knows?
Poor thing.
Sometimes these rumors, you know, with the club kids, Chris, it's just
sure.
A rumor. It just becomes on fire in the, with the club kids.
Yes, especially with social media nowadays.
I grouped together with other political geeks. You know who I was chatting with? Fred Karger, the Republican who ran for president.
We've had him on our show.
As a gay man.
Yeah.
It was loud in the club, but I would have been shouting anyway. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why would you still be a Republican? What are you, a moron? He was a very nice guy, though.
I'm sure he's heard that before, and he has a canned answer.
Yes, he did. But I couldn't hear him. Okay. I can't hear normally.
Was Canadian Mayor Chris Farley there?
Oh, if only.
Did you hear what he said yesterday and had to apologize for?
Yeah. Yes. Wait, hang on.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I have it. Here it is. It's bleeped.
Okay. Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondek. It says that I wanted to eat her Olivia Gondek. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
Anything that was...
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Crack. It's not just... Oh, my God.
You sent me the story. I was like, he did not say that
He did. He later had to apologize for it.
I apologize for saying...
He said he's under a lot of stress because
of
the scandal.
See, he eats. Listen, me too, but you know what? You don't see me going around.
Well, how do we know
this? Doing crap, for God's sake. Well, not that kind.
No.
What?
Huh? What?
God's sake.
Double entendre, really? Police.
Really? Jim!
What did you just say?
He said double entendre police.
Yeah, exactly. That is, wow. Talk about, putting a spotlight on it. It's like, no, don't say that part again.
You know what else I didn't say? I didn't say I'd beep your beep or beep.
I didn't say any of that. I've got more than enough
to
be at home.
Well, I just didn't know, but...
Well, wow. Can I hear that again?
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess in every way he has more to be at home. I was looking at the video of him going crazy, the thing where he's going to, I don't know, kill the mother, blink and beep, beep. And I was like, oh, my God, that really is a Chris Farley sketch. He's, like, doing that thing, Jim, with his arms back and forth while he's pulling off his pants and, like, stamping around. I was like, oh, my God.
I live in a van down by the river.
Okay. Yeah, I got to hear it again, too. Hang on.
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondek. It says that I wanted to eat her Olivia Gondek. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
What does the lovely and talented Mrs. Ford think of all of this?
That is the most spectacular sound clip in the history of politics. He is, I don't even know what to say.
It beats the Checker speech, that's for sure.
Yeah, he ranks up there with "Ask not what your country can do for you."
Oh, my God. I thought some of our politics were lunatics. That is, I mean, because, you know, a lot of times Sarah Palin, you're like, you really can't tell the difference between her and the SNL sketch. But that is an SNL sketch. You know what, Jim? You've heard the rumor. I think Andy Kaufman is alive, and he's gained some weight, he is that guy.
Oh, that could be. It's performance art.
Well, now there are rumors that Andy Kaufman is alive.
I know. That's my point.
Yes.
Right.
You have that story, right?
Do you need any better proof than that press conference right there?
Oh, my God.
That he's that guy? He's either that guy in Flabbergast, or he gained some weight for the role.
Or Chris Farley lives. He faked his own death.
Right. Either Chris Farley or Andy Kaufman faked their death, clearly.
Wow.
This is just, I got to hear it again. I've got to hear it one more time.
One more time? Okay, here we go.
And then we can move on.
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondek. It says that I wanted to eat her pussy, Olivia Gondek. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
Anything that was true?
I never said that to Pat. I never took off her good Republican cloth coat. Well, once or twice.
I don't need to kick around anymore. I'll just be at home eating my way.
She kept her cloth coat on when we did it.
Oh, I bet that she did.
Oh, my God.
I sense that she did.
Wow.
Oof. All right. I'm a little...
There's an image, huh?
You know, you sent all this stuff on healthcare, Chris, and I was like, oh, no. I'm going to be talking about me.
Yeah, throw out all
the... Once we get on the eating thing, you know.
I never said that to her.
And this is Canada. They're usually so polite up there.
His staff probably looks just like the staff on Veep, right? Just like wide-eyed, just like Mr. Mayor. That was the part you're not supposed to say. What she actually said.
Barely able to contain their panic.
I never said that to her. What I did say is I wanted to beep or beep with a beep.
Oh, God, I look forward to more and more press conferences or even more pornographic progressively. And I never said.
What happened to my pants?
Except with no bleeps.
Right.
Until his own staff just gags him and pulls him out of the room. Oh, boy.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Wow. You know, he's a guy that could get stuck in a chimney. Breaking news, Chris, out of then where else but Florida. Of course in Florida, Naples, Florida, man stuck in the chimney, not Santa Claus, just a pre-holiday story for you.
Okay.
Getting to be a holiday season here in New York City.
GTK, it's not Santa Claus.
It was not Santa Claus coming down the chimney of a Southwest Florida home early Wednesday morning. Naples police say it was a man who intended to rob a home after he ran out of money during a night drinking.
Who has a chimney in Florida?
Oh, so he was drunk.
Right.
Oh.
He got stuck halfway down the chimney. His friend Derek.
Derek? That's a hell of a name for an elf.
And his other brother, Derek.
Told authorities he warned his friend not to go down the chimney. I said, dude, you're not Santa Claus. What are you doing?
You're not Santa Claus.
Brandon is his name. Brandon and Derek. To pull Brandon out of the chimney with a harness.
With a harness?
Yes. Well, because he was really stuck in there.
Oh.
Another exciting episode, Chris, of WTF Florida. Really? Really? Really?
Well, I mean, if we didn't have Florida, we wouldn't have kicker stories. So we have to thank them.
Right.
You know.
Every single story is like, I'm going to guess Florida.
Kicker?
Yes.
I just met her. I would never say that to her.
So I moved to Chicago from Toronto.
Yeah, that was not a Toronto accent.
No, it was not. All right. It's going to take a second. We're a little winded from the Rob Ford thing, but we will get into health care and all that as we shake it off. Shake it off, everybody. Run it off. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York.
Bad.
Stephanie Miller.
Everyone makes mistakes. Yours is just public and expensive.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Sexy Little John Fugelsang joins us live in studio here with Mama in New York for hour number three. Lots of very, very exciting Sexy Liberal announcements coming up.
Really?
All right. Speaking of sexy, Jan in Amherst is on the phone. Oh, God.
Oh,
hi, Jan. Up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport. Hello, Jan.
Hey, Steph. Hey, I miss you guys. You know, they preempted you for this crappy sports show that has to talk about the Buffalo Bills. You know, it's torturing us here.
Go Bills.
Hey, yeah, really. Hey, listen, Steph. I've talked about this before, and just let me make my point, and then you can say whatever you like.
Thank you. I've
always been of the opinion that Obama is a narcissist, okay?
He's really more uppity, don't you think, than a narcissist?
No, listen, please don't start with that. Come on, that's not my point. All I'm saying is no one's ever really kind of questioned him. But now it is unquestionable that you're going to get these senators, Democrats, abandoning him like brats from a ship. Now, this is going to cause this guy to go crazy. And you can laugh at me, please.
Oh, you've been saying this for like 9 years, that the president's going to go insane,
no,
like the Hulk, and rip his shirt off, right?
Hey, listen, they doubled down in the election. I am predicting that when he does lose that support, something's going to happen to him. Laugh at me again. I'm fodder for your criticism. So that's fine. But I love you guys.
Okay.
Aww.
But your prediction now is what? Because your prediction has been pretty much the same, that the president's going to lose it, right?
No, as long as, the condition is that he loses the support, and that's all I ever meant to say. Very sorry, I should have put the qualifier in it, but that's all I meant to say. How you guys
right.
been, anyway?
Well, I think what you said is he's going to lose by a landslide to Mitt Romney, I think is what you said, essentially.
Listen, Mitt Romney was not the exact guy that I wanted, but that's what we got, and that's what happens when you put a guy, mushy guy like him in. I'm sorry, that's what happens.
Yeah, you're right. He was mushy.
Yeah, and Obama just had the support. He had all the technology behind him, and he did it. He won the deal. I never questioned that. But watch what happens, okay? I think it's going to be interesting.
Okay, great. I'm sure he's going to lose it
He's going to start uttering crazy stuff. He's going to start to become a prisoner in that White House where once he was out every day.
I'm going to make a note of it. Okay. Oh, he's going to start wandering around like Richard Nixon talking to pictures and just...
Steph, I love you. If I'm right, can I call back?
Sure.
I won't close. But,
sure.
You're the best.
There's a first time for everything.
Aww.
All right. Thanks, John. Love you. Miss you already. Uh-oh. Bye-bye.
Something happened to the line.
Oh, gosh. Darn it, Chris.
Darn you,
Obama. All
these
technical difficulties when I'm not there.
I know,
Obama.
How dare you?
No, I don't see him going nuts like Nixon.
No, he won't go nuts.
He's going to be like that skit with the two guys. So who's the, there's the kick-ass Obama.
No.
What's that?
The skit with the two guys.
There's like the angry Obama and the regular Obama.
Oh, yeah, the Key and Peele.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. He's going to be angry Obama. And go,
go all Ving Rhames on our ass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like an insane sorority girl. He's going to start losing his
sea punting everybody.
Right. Left and right.
Yes.
I told you not to interrupt me when I'm talking to a picture of JFK. Spunk. Okay.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
Oh, boy. All right. The president yesterday had a press conference. By the by, do you remember ever, in the history of ever, George W. Bush admitting a mistake in Iraq? Not even.
No.
He was I love it. In fact, his library. His library.
I'm the decider.
Yeah.
I decide
what
books are going to my library.
Do you be the decider and see if you would have made the same decisions to which all of us say, no, we wouldn't have not, you moron. I decided the best I could decide because I was a decider. And these are the decisions that I decided. What would you have decided? Well, we decided that you are the worst president ever.
Ever. Ever. Ever.
And this whole library should be housed in, perhaps, The Hague. How about that? Okay. Here is President Obama yesterday.
We fumbled the rollout on this health care law.
All right.
Aha! Jacuzzi! Oh, he admitted it. Okay. Here he is again.
Yesterday. I'm not a perfect man, and I will not be a perfect president. My pledge to the American people is that we're going to solve the problems that are there. We're going to get it right. And the Affordable Care Act is going to work for the American people.
Yeah, which, I, you know, we had Bob Seskon yesterday wrote a great piece mm-hmm. about all of this. So what was the upshot, Chris? He's going to give people a year, correct?
Well, okay. Here's what it is. He can't compel the insurance companies to give people a year extension. Right. He's asking the insurance companies to give a year mm-hmm. extension. And so Mary Landrieu has said we may need to have some legislation to back that up legally.
Well, I think that's actually brilliant. Puts the onus back on the insurance companies where it should be. Because, as I've said over and over, they had 3 years to make these compliant. And, you know, it's been proven in a lot of places they're sending out incredibly
sure.
deceptive and confusing letters
right.
in an effort to get people
right.
to into more expensive plans. Of course, they don't bother telling them what the competition is if they are qualified for subsidies, et cetera, right?
Yeah. But nothing compels them to do this. I mean, they can just, you know, keep dropping people.
Well, right. But, I think Bob Seska wrote the best piece we've heard about this, about why you can't. I mean, this is the whole heart of Obamacare. You can't just go, oh, okay, well, everybody can just go back to the crappy insurance plans. I mean, I think to, you know, soothe the nerves of some people this is happening to, I mean, let's post that up again today just because I thought it was such a great overview
okay.
of that whole issue, Bob Seska and the Daily Banter yesterday. Okay, the president one more time.
I'm accused of a lot of things, but... I don't think I'm stupid enough to go around saying this is going to be like shopping on Amazon or Travelocity a week before the website opens if I thought that it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I think, as he said before, like he doesn't write code. Kathleen Sebelius doesn't write code. And it's once again.
But they're in charge of the people who
do.
Yeah,
the problem is like not this many states were supposed to not do their own exchanges. They
right.
did.
That was
so the federal,
that was a last
government
minute
has
thing.
Had to step in.
Right.
That
was a last minute thing. You're absolutely right there. You know, the Supreme Court came back with their decision and kind of threw a wrench into the works, and so they had to completely rejigger the website. I totally
right.
agree with
as,
you there.
As you know, Republicans have been throwing wrenches in this since day one.
Right.
So I mean, I think it's. I mean, I you know, I love. The
dang it, we're out of wrenches. How about pliers? We'll throw some pliers
exactly.
in there?
Now they're at the point of throwing pliers in. Yeah, I love the headline. John Boehner, highly skeptical of Obamacare fix. Oh, really? Gee, we'd be so supportive of anything. He gave you. We were here yesterday. He gave his press conference before the president talked.
I'm not going to like whatever he's about to say. It's I'm skeptical of this as being a fix.
And by the way, I did not eat that woman's... Okay, never mind.
Oh, God. If only.
I'm sorry. I'm in a drunken stupor again. I didn't. I got the wrong transcript for the press conference. That would be funny, wouldn't it?
That would be awesome.
Mayor Ford's.
That would be so awesome.
In a drunken stupor.
That would be awesome. It's
his
Mark,
remarks.
It's Zimmerman. It's really awesome.
You're right.
Really,
and then
awesome
Marco Maris is a lawyer. And he, thank you. Thanks so much. I have to hear it one more time, Chris. It may be like my audio crack for this week.
Crack? Get it?
Hey!
Mark!
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondek. It says that I wanted to eat her Olivia Gondek. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
Anything that was true?
Wow.
Oh, boy. I really still can't believe he
wow.
put it that way. Particularly for a man of his size. And that there can be a billion jokes either way.
How, what, how, I mean,
oh
I'm
my
sure,
God.
Never mind.
How much do you want to bet that Mrs. Ford drunk dialed Catherine Zeta-Jones like moments after that? Really? 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 With these guys? Seriously? Did I have to talk about that? Really? Okay.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Speaking of, hey, just because now we're down the squeezy hole,
what?
Can I have some squeezy music?
Absolutely.
Because this one's for Jim.
All right.
Scarlett Johansson, Jim, likes porn.
I know. I read about that.
She said, I think porn, like anything else, can be enjoyed. It can be productive for both men and women.
Well, how do you,
really, what
over
do you produce,
house?
Jim?
Wow. How
Let's
do
not talk about
you?
What men produce. It's,
oh, I think you know. Right. I think you may have, I don't know, seen it.
Really?
At some point.
No, I have not. I have not.
Really?
Wow. Not really. I, you know, I, by accident, when I'm going through channels, for a moment.
What? Wait a minute. What?
What channels are those?
Yeah. Why do you have those channels on your...
I don't know. I just got the everything too.
Right.
Well, we also did work at Playboy for 6 months.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we had to stop that because Jim was like would always be like 10 minutes late back from a break.
Yeah.
Because he'd be in the break room.
And, was, you know, in our break room here, we have the news on in Playboy's break room.
83 channels of porn.
I don't have enough cream for my coffee. Yeah. I'll be in a minute.
83 channels of porn on the wall. 83 channels of porn.
But they had a great coffee maker.
Yes.
Extra cream.
And extra pull.
Yes.
And,
okay.
Yes. And various.
And a
there's a lot of foam
aids.
On that latte.
Oh, really?
All right. 44 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show live.
I would never say that.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it live from New York City, 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying in hour number three. Thanks to everybody at Out Magazine. I was up at the big Outrun 100 Bash last night in New York City.
Did you finally get to meet Aaron Hicklin, whom we had on the air yesterday?
I did not. It was it was a madhouse. It was a bit of a madhouse, I must say.
Okay.
But I had I did wear my gown with a slit. If Mayor Rob Ford is listening,
makes it easier to eat.
Excuse
I would
me?
Never
right.
say
I,
that.
I was eating hors d'oeuvres, and it was easier to bend.
Sure.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. So by the by, we obviously the enrollment figures for Obamacare came out right at 106,856.
Mm-hmm.
So cue the crisis, Chiron. Because it's right. However, I think we should point out nearly half of all the signups were in California and New York, which not coincidentally are the two states that have worked hardest to build exchanges and implement key parts of the law. Overall, 82% of the enrollees came from blue states, a testament to the stark divide between the states that support the law and the states that oppose it. And again, a lot of people keep citing Massachusetts. Which, blah, 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 which had few enrollments at the beginning of the healthcare rollout in February 2007. By the end of the year, however, participation had spiked with 36,000 enrollments of 80,000 eligible uninsured people. Of those, 20% purchased coverage in the last month before the penalty kicked in. That's what a bunch of people wrote me yesterday and said, we're Americans. We don't do anything till the last minute or until you have to.
Yeah.
If Americans followed the same pattern with Obamacare, we would see a massive enrollees near April when enrollment ends. So, you know, to be continued, as we've said.
Mm-hmm.
The president yesterday. Hello, President Obama.
There is
yesterday.
No doubt that our failure to roll out the ACA smoothly has put a burden on Democrats, whether they're running or not, because they stood up and supported this effort through thick and thin.
You know, I think one of the problems that I was just thinking, the most recent example is Syria. It doesn't matter how well something goes or ends up, you know, resolving.
Mm-hmm.
It's a debacle because it's the Obama administration. It's somehow a disaster and somehow a debacle and. I keep using that just because it's so recent, and you have I have not seen a story. I don't think anywhere have you seen any airtime at all spent on that Syria has disarmed.
No.
In the middle of a civil war, which nobody said could be done. No one said he would even admit he had chemical weapons, let alone give them up, without us firing a shot. And you don't. That's it. You know, it's like that. All you got was the crisis debacle coverage, and nothing. And so it's like you know what? Everybody knew there would be bumps with this, but. I have such crisis fatigue that you're like, what? Okay.
Yeah.
So
but
this is a crisis and a debacle. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure we heard a lot of the same things, you know, from Medicare and Social Security when they rolled out. But, you know, anyway,
Yeah. But, you know, Syria isn't his signature piece of legislation that he, you know, ushered through.
Okay, well, he saved us another war.
He did.
That George
he
Bush
did.
Wouldn't have saved us.
He did.
Or Dick Cheney.
Yes, and that's awesome. But it's not his signature piece of legislation.
Yeah, so now that, you know, the Republicans are trying to get back by trying to, like, do new sanctions on Iran, so that maybe we can get that war.
No, yeah,
maybe
that's
they can
insane.
Screw up that diplomatic process in time to, yeah. The president again yesterday.
There's going to be a lot of evaluation of how we got to this point. And I assure you that I've been asking a lot of questions about that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Mm-hmm. I can imagine there's been some discussion.
Maybe he's done Angry Hulk behind the scenes.
Right.
Just not in front of the cameras.
Right.
Hulk smash!
Maybe he did a Hulk smash.
Yeah, that could be. It's entirely possible.
Maybe he took like an old monitor, like a, you know, it was like a Gallagher concert, and just, you know, by way of cartoon explanation. Right. All right, the president, yes.
The bottom line is insurers can extend current plans that would otherwise be canceled into 2014, and Americans whose plans have been canceled can choose to re-enroll in the same kind of plan.
See, I think that's really smart, you guys, because it puts a spotlight on what's wrong with these plans and the whole need for affordable care. It's like, you know, I think it's like, okay, you can keep these, but I think the more and more, the thing that Republicans have counted on is people being uneducated about this
mm-hmm.
and being misinformed actively
mm-hmm.
by Republicans and by the insurance companies. And I think the more and more people get informed about it and see the difference in their plans and other plans. And because I think fear is a very powerful motivator. And I think people are afraid and they're confused. And you know, so it's like, okay.
Why are we informing?
You can explain this, but you know, explain to them why this stuff is missing in their
right.
coverage and what, you know.
Why are we informing and educating now instead of before all of this, though?
I feel like he did. It's just
apparently not enough.
Really, when you've been up against a wall of solid lies, and now the president's getting accused of lying when the Republicans lied through the entire thing.
But people
death panels, death panels, death panels. It's gonna be, you know, close every small business in America. We're gonna on and on.
I know,
yes,
but
he could have done a better job of countering.
But people
that.
Are still confused and still, you know, they still are easily tricked by Republican lies. That tells me that not enough explaining was done beforehand.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because the Republicans always run on fear. They always apply to people's what's the word? They, you know, they're lesser angels.
Baser
they always
fears,
appeal
yeah.
to people's like worst instincts.
Right. And they do that.
You've got yours. Everybody else.
Right. And
you know, if the gays get theirs, it's going to ruin your
right.
marriage.
But,
if, you
and
know,
the administration.
If the Browns get this stuff, that's your money. I mean, it's just it's.
I'm suggesting the administration might have had the administration should have known that and should have had a plan to
right.
possibly counter
to
that.
Counter it. Right.
Right.
But Democrats never do that. We just sort of assume that
that everybody's going to go for the best thing.
What,
right.
Yeah.
But they don't. We need to learn that.
He won two landslides based on people appealing to their better angels, appealing to their higher part of themselves,
right.
I think.
But with the president's approval rating at its lowest level ever now, that tells me the Republicans are winning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not as low as their approval rating.
Well, I know, but you know, President Obama is in the upper 30s right now. That's not good.
I hear you. So let's all get a scared and abandon him.
Well, you know.
The president one more time yesterday.
Now, this fix won't solve every problem for every person, but it's going to help a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think he said at one point, the perfect thing, he said, I'm not going to walk away from 30 million people getting insurance for the first time.
And that's awesome.
And
love
good
that.
For him.
Yeah.
Good for him. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, we roll along. The Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it live from New York City, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang joining me here live in studio. Next hour, very, very exciting. Lots of Sexy Liberal announcements coming up. We have, Albuquerque just announced yesterday, going crazy. You go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, and the final 2013 show, here she is.
Seattle, want to end 2013 on a high note? Then get your tickets now for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, coming to the Paramount Theater December 14th, 2013.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to sexyliberal.com for ticket information and all things Sexy Liberal. Once again, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Paramount Theater on December 14th, 2013. Be there and brace yourselves for some Sexy Liberal action.
Yay! Thank you, Rocky Mountain. Oh, I think that was Shano. Rocky Mountain, somebody. Don't somebody.
Yes.
Okay.
It was our promo team.
Right, right. Thank you, promo team. Very, okay. Very exciting. All right. Lots of folks want to chime in on the Obama's press conference. Richard in New York, where Mama is. Hi, Richard. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
A lot of what I was interested in hearing you addressed while I was waiting to have my call taken, but I agree with you. I think that the president needs to be more patient. He's got the law, and I'm a little concerned about what's happened in the last few days, and I don't know that he's helped his cause as much as he's compromised where his vision wants to take this country. What do you think?
See how that siren doesn't bother me? Because when you've been in New York a couple days, it's just the backdrop of every conversation. Do you feel like, I'm sorry, you feel like he shouldn't have reacted the way he did yesterday? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I want to see a leader get up there and say, you know, this is good. Just like you just said, let's be patient. True, Americans don't sign up right away. You know, we never want to be the first. But we never want to be the last.
Right.
It seemed to me that he's, I don't know. It seemed to me he weakened his position.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I do. What I like is, I guess what I was contrasting, is he does take responsibility, whereas George Bush, as you famously recall, they said, can you think of one mistake you've ever made? And he said no. I mean, seriously? Well, about his presidency. I mean,
I don't know. He didn't really.
And you're right, there's that extreme of not ever, not even all of the people dead for a mistake, for a lie in Iraq. Nothing, you know, and so I think that, you know, you're right. Maybe this president does go too far the other way when he's been up against such a constant wall of you know, obstructionism and criticism, right?
Oh, I agree, and he's got to be 110% all the way.
But I think, you know, here's the difference. I think he actually cares, Richard. I think he actually, when he said I'm sorry, he was saying I am sorry that, you know, even if it's such a small percentage of people, you're right. Dick Cheney would have said so. Screw them. It's a tiny percentage of people. They have crappy plans. That's what he would have said. You know what I mean? We don't want President Obama to be president. You know, I almost said President Cheney. Wow, that was a mistake.
Oh, God.
But I think on the other hand, he was saying, I'm sorry, because those are real people, and they are really genuinely distressed and confused. And so I think he is doing the best he can with that, with trying to, you know, figure out how to address those few people. But like I say, that's one end of the scale.
Yep.
Dick Cheney literally said so. You know, somebody said the people think the Iraq war largely was a mistake. He said so. Okay, let's go to Jeff in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I think we're going to win either way on this. I think we win if it's repealed, because then the Republicans are going to have to tell people they're going to open up the donut hole, they're going to take away the caps, they're going to take away no preconditions, and they're going to have to take it away from people, and Americans don't like it. Once you get it, they want to keep it. So
yeah, well, you know what? Somebody made the analogy yesterday, Jeff. I thought it was actually a good one about marriage equality in California, and what led to this whole thing at the Supreme Court is because it was the first time in America we had a group of people with rights that had that right then taken away. And you're right. It created a, and this is exactly what Bob Seska's point was yesterday. This creates an entire second class, insurance underclass, second class citizens, like all those couples in California were, that have these crappy plans that are not, you know, that are able to have all this stuff happen to them, that the vast majority of people don't. They can't now because of the Affordable Care Act.
The thing is, if it goes through like it should and like we want it to, everybody wins.
That's right.
And the Republicans take their lumps in November because they're going to say,
yeah.
I can't.
Well, Jeff, and that, and you know what? And that's the difference between the parties. Remember Bill Clinton always said, you know, rising tide lifts all boats. Mitt Romney, when he was caught on tape being Mitt Romney, said 47% of you, you'll never vote for me. You want free stuff. You don't care about your own lives. You know, that's how they see things.
I think I'm going to move to Georgia just to vote for Jimmy Carter's grandson.
Yeah.
Up with that tape.
Yeah, exactly. Good idea. All right, Mike in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Yeah, you know, L.A. is much colder since you've gone to New York.
I know. Ain't no sunshine when I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem, as I see it, with health care reform, both with the Clinton's plan back in the 90s and with the current thing we got, is that it's excessively complicated to accommodate the insurance companies so they won't strangle it in its cradle. And as long as the subject of revising the Affordable Care Act is on the floor, I think we should get what we voted for in 2008 and have a public option to simplify everything.
Yeah, I know. I love the Republicans continually saying Well, you're right. The American people want a public option. I mean, a big chunk of the American people don't like the Affordable Care Act because it doesn't go far enough. Right?
Yeah, the whole problem has always been the insurance companies. The Clintons thought they had a deal with them back in the 1990s, and then the insurance companies stabbed them in the back, and the thing was down the tubes. In the intervening years, something like, by my estimate, about 500,000 Americans have died because they didn't have health coverage.
Yeah. Because of that, yeah, that sounds like a death panel. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, Chris and Jim, have I ever told you the story of the scorpion and the frog?
Oh, God.
All right.
Not this again.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, for people that are shocked that insurance companies are suddenly bastard people, just saying. Okay. Tony,
and I'll
LA.
Tell you why I can't put up with
right.
you people,
exactly.
Because you're bastard people.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Tony in L.A.
Hello, precious mother. We are so jealous when you're gone. Come home to us.
That's why I do
you know
it.
What happens when,
for the hot
when
makeup
you're gone.
Sex when I come back.
Oh, yes, baby love. Mm-hmm. When you're gone, Chris acts bad.
Does
Chris,
it?
We've had ACA negotiations and discussions and back and forth for 4 years now.
Right.
Everybody knows every little thing.
No, they don't,
ATA.
Because people are being fooled.
Well, no.
Well, how is that President Obama's fault that the Republicans remain deceptive
fault.
And insurance companies remain bastard yeah. people?
Well, listen, they obviously didn't get the message out there well enough.
Let me help you.
Right,
Chris.
That's
I'm a licensed public adjuster,
God,
the official public
put
adjuster,
your head in the
Stephanie
sand.
Miller Show.
You're the official what is that, Tony? I'm sorry,
there was some
white
adjuster.
Noise that was bothering me. Go ahead.
I'm the official public adjuster of Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay.
I've been adjusting, specializing in overturning denied claims. One thing people don't do, they don't read their insurance policies. Now, morons want to keep the bad policies. These morons want to restore lifetime caps. These morons want to restore pre-existing condition denials and kick their kids off their plan at 21 years old.
This is what Bob Seska was saying yesterday. A lot of these plans, a lot of them, are crap on a stick. And people go, I like them. But when those people get sick or get injured, they're going to find out why they don't like them. And then what? Again, once again, will
and
there be a
say,
sorry President Obama? Thanks, President Obama, for this. Another one. You know.
Well, what we say is this. In the business, we say it's the Barbara Billingsley rule. If you remember that movie Airplane, Chump don't want no help. Chump don't get no help. Now, what he has done here on the upside, Brother Chris, he has completely put this stinking rotten turd right back into the insurance company's pockets. Because when they deny, when they change policies, they never do blanket cancellations. They always
pretzels you all are twisting yourselves in.
Really? No, I said it last hour. I said it was. I think it's brilliant what the president did.
It's
the reason
totally
Tony's saying.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. when they never issue these blanket denials. They always issue addendums and riders. You see what I mean, Chris?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They never do this. They did this because you have 39 states that are boycotting. All the Republican Party is boycotting, plus the Norquist Koch crime family. And Obama says, okay, here, you deal with this little piece of the action. It's on you now. Now what are you going to do? So the argument is completely gone. Plus, this Republican had this trick bill that was going up for vote today. That bill's not going anywhere. This
yep.
is, as you will see, these people have walked right into the Obama derangement syndrome trap like they always do. But this time, this is going to put the total kibosh on everything. But you have to read your own policies, people. You have to take responsibility for yourself. You got to read your own policy. It's too complicated to understand. I get that. You got to call an agent and actually do some work now. Stop blaming it on Barack. Stop.
Thank you. And tell Skeeter over there, Chris has morphed into Skeeter while I've been gone. Thank you, Tony. All right. Thank you for calling. Skeeter, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Here's a call for you. Jeff in Maryland. Hi, Jeff. You're on with Skeeter. Chris, go ahead. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey. First, I voted for President Obama. So
of course you did.
Right,
you're all for affordable, right. The Affordable Care Act, right? But here's your concern. But,
hold on. Come on, Stephanie. You are too smart, and I am too smart to try to buy into that President Obama didn't lie. I know you're familiar with the
President
July
Obama 10th. Didn't lie.
Let me tell you what. Well, are you familiar with the July 10th federal paper that went to the White House that Sebelius sent that said that 40 to 45% of the individual policies will be terminated because of the narrowness of the Health Care Act, and 45 to 50% of the corporate will be,
right.
Will
Jeff,
terminate.
As I've said,
you know that.
Could, all
you
right.
know that.
Have I said, could he have been more concise and said, if, you know, your plan is not are grandfathered
more,
in,
more concise.
And it doesn't fit, and it doesn't, you know, comply with the requirements of the Affordable Care Act, could he have been more concise? Yes, he did not.
No,
lie.
You mean
but
precise.
Thank you for calling, Jeff.
more concise? I don't think he could have been more concise. Yeah, I think he was a little too concise.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You meant precise.
Right. Thank you.
Word.
Thank you. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Ay vey. We roll along. The Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Well, I am freaking, and I am faking this. So, shut down and never mind.
And let me talk.
What?
Do it. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City, 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Sexy Liberal John, people say, live in studio with us in just a few minutes, actually, on his way in.
Yeah, he's early.
Yay! Okay, the president, one more time yesterday from the press conference.
Because ultimately, I'm the president of the United States. And, you know, that's on me. And I did not have enough awareness about the problems in the website. Again, that's on us, which is why that's on me. And that's why I'm trying to fix it. So, you know, ultimately, I'm the head of this team. We did fumble the ball on it. You know, these are two fumbles on something that, on a big game, but the game's not over.
Cha. Bonnie in Jersey, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bonnie. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, and welcome to my former city that never sleeps because they're working three jobs to pay the rent on a California closet.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I have to take exception with Chris and Jim about it not being explained well enough by a president. I mean, he did all the explaining he could, and I do remember in 2010 with the town hall meetings, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. the Dems went out, and my representative at the time was Rush Holt, and wonderful, I mean, brilliant man. Mm-hmm. And he did his best to try to explain to these yahoos who showed up with their don't tread on me flags and their tri-cornered hats. But
right.
if you can't understand a basic concept as to how insurance works in the first place, how do you try to explain a complex, and it is a very convoluted, complex system, because you're dealing with insurance companies. I mean, if the president privatized the insurance companies, things would be a lot easier.
Yeah, and you know what's simpler? But, Medicare for all, and the president said that way back when. You know, single payer would have been ideal, but that's not going to happen. He knew
that
the political realities.
That would have been a sensational thing, but I live, you know, although it's a blue state, Monmouth County is very red, and Ocean is too, and I do have a friend, a beach friend, who's very Republican, and when her son graduated from college and became a teacher, he couldn't get a job because Governor Fat Bastard fired 6,000, you know, teachers, and they weren't hiring any new ones, so he was working as a temp. You know, he was working, I guess, I think he was a substitute teacher with no coverage.
Mm-hmm.
He was 25 years old at the time. And she was freaking because the insurance was, well, you know, great. But I informed her that she could keep him on her husband, you know, the family policy. And she was thrilled about that. But didn't, you know, still hates Obama and hates the Democrats. But, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
It's
well, you
very
know, it's
hard
funny.
To get through with people
right.
who have preconceived notions of it being socialism, communism, Marxism,
yeah.
ismism.
You know, Margaret writes it and says, what is the deal? Do Chris and Jim think it mattered in the least what President Obama said? Anything he says is an opportunity for the naysayers to guess what? Say nay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the problem.
That's where we are.
And I don't know, maybe it is me, but, you know, Bonnie, a lot of that stuff seemed pretty easy to understand to me. Can't be discriminated against for pre-existing conditions anymore. Can stay on your parents' insurance till you're, 26.
That's all great stuff.
You know,
who's
no
arguing
lifetime
with that?
Caps.
Who's
no,
arguing
I mean, like,
with that?
Well, I'm not. Well,
and you're right
about that.
You're right, Stephanie. You're yeah. very right about now that they're going to find out what the insurance companies are all about with this new hello.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello. Oh. Thank you. I'm good for him for putting it back on them. Shayla in Pittsburgh, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shayla. Hi, Shayla.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Moose. Hey. I was totally in agreement with the lady who was just on and how all the town halls that they were trying to get the message out. But Debbie Wasserman Schultz was on Bill Maher a couple of weeks ago, and she said that Bernie Sanders kept trying to get money for testing the website, and the
right.
Republicans kept blocking it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, right.
And it bugs me
that
there's not more information out about that, that that's not being pushed that much. But I also distinctly remember hearing that the president wanted money to get the information out to people in commercials and PSAs all along, and again, it was all being blocked. And there's only so much you can do. You can't put the onus on the president if the Republicans won't even let the publicity get out.
There, I mean, look at what I just did, the enrollment figure, Shayla, where it is 82% are coming from the blue states that are enacting this and helping people. In red states, there are insurance commissioners that are on record as saying we are going to do everything we can to block this and obstruct this and to make sure the navigators can't help people. I mean, you know, it's not a mystery here. 29 minutes after the hour, right back to Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City.
Look like when I'm drunk?
You wish. That's the stage we call
Stephanie Miller.
Talkative, coherent, even insightful.
And you're probably still drunk from last night.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. But you heard that sultry laugh, didn't you?
Diddle sang, diddle sang, diddle sang.
It is so nice to have you in the Boo Radley suite.
Hello. Bugle-Sang has spawned, and I have, Chris and Jim, I have seen the spawn.
You have touched the spawn?
John Bugle-Sang. Henry Jack is possibly the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Oh. He's horrible. He's a horrible person.
Baby,
you're looking at us through the glass right now. He's a horrible
person.
He's
there with Mommy. Mama Bugle-Sang. Aw, look at that.
That's adorbs.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Oh, my God. All right.
It's really horrible. He's a horrible person, too, by the way.
We are going to be back on TV soon. We can't announce it quite yet, but that is a shame, Chris. That is the cutest child that has ever been created and the largest.
He's massive. He's only 20 months.
Are you near Three Mile Island? What happened?
And he's almost vegan. He's almost totally vegan. He's just a freak little mutant child. He's an X-Man. Only 20 months old, and he's wearing, you know, like four-year-old clothes. And people say, keep your giant away from my two-year-old. And I'm like, he's younger than your two-year-old.
He's a giant, giant child.
He's massive.
And he's
vegan, so he makes me feel bad about what I eat.
Mm. Right. Totally. All right, we just announced Albuquerque yesterday. Box office went insane. Actually, Sexy Liberal tour director, who is already high-strung.
Is he? Really?
Yeah.
Are you implying Roland's high-strung?
A little bit.
Nah.
Little poodle on linoleum. But he was going insane because the ticket link briefly wasn't working, and he thought we were selling no tickets. And then, guess what? Magically, like many website glitches, it was fixed. And then
you're saying is when a new product rolls out online, like, I don't know, Medicare Part D, for example, there are website glitches.
Right. You'll be surprised to know we did not shut the Sexy Liberal Tour down or repeal it.
Wow, we should have repealed the entire thing because there were difficulties with the website.
Right.
There are glitches and holes on the linoleum.
Technology glitches mean the ideology behind the gesture was completely flawed.
You know what? Chris Yankton writes, all we're suggesting is that since Republicans are going to lie and obfuscate, the president, Democrats should have done more to explain things to people. He says, I don't understand why saying that makes one a naysaying bastard person.
No, that's true.
But that's what Stephanie is suggesting.
I did not call you a naysaying bastard person.
Well, you didn't call us that.
I'm even listening to you.
Uh-huh.
She was being a Stephanie's being a naysaying bastard person to you, Chris.
Oh. Chris and Yankton also writes to me.
Uh-huh.
This can go on all day. Bill Clinton's comments weren't about disagreeing on issues.
Nope, not one bit.
What he said about the president's quote-unquote promise and keeping your health care plan make no logical sense. There's no way the president broke his promise, and there's no way the government can do what Bill Clinton implied unless we nationalized health care, and that's probably not going to happen. If we extended deadlines for eliminating the crappy health plans, that would really screw up the whole implementation process and still leave lots of people without adequate health care, which they would only find when they went to the hospital, of course. In short, this wasn't about Democrats disagreeing on principle. This was about the tacky, purely political side of Bill Clinton kneecapping his own party because he thinks it will help Hillary. Admire his loyalty. It's a pretty S-wordy thing to do, a short-sighted thing to do. I mean, a lot of people, Bill Clinton, unfortunately, did tick off a lot of our
Bill Clinton would never
listeners.
Say...
They're like, you know, this is primary Bill again, where you're like, wait a minute.
This is vintage Bill. This is Bill and Obama. This is how he's always been. He's always going to put space between him and Obama, and then when the time comes, he's going to come and give the greatest speech in the history of conventions.
The main thing I got out of that is Chris Yankton is playing both sides.
Right, Chris, and that's the thing. Chris Yankton is a smarmy.
He likes
bastard.
To listen to both sides.
He is a small business owner that likes to listen to both sides and stumbled across our show for the last 9 years.
Are you implying someone talking about Bill Clinton is triangulating?
Karen and Madison, you're on with John. Hi, Karen.
Oh, I believe Karen and Madison is gone.
How about Mike and Madison speaking for Karen? We'll just say
okay.
Hello, Mike and Madison.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. I'm sorry, but I'm really tired of this spineless Democratic Congress backing up, worried about being elected. And what they need to be worried about is doing the right thing, like a couple legislators had to do in Colorado, where they knew they were going to lose their seat, but you do the right thing.
Yep.
You know, let's tear one out of that teabagger's page. Lose your lace panties, get rid of the noodle back, inject some spine. And one for you, Boehner. You think that the president can just wave his wand? I'd take that over your oversized wooden mallet to compensate for your whiskey wiener, buddy.
Oh, dear.
All right. Okay. Thank you. That's out of your craw now. Good. Good. All right.
Wooden mallet?
Let's hope the John Boehner can't wave
the
tiny
the gavel.
Wand. then.
You know, it's just like, why can't the president just come out and say, hey, we are committed to ending socialism in healthcare? Because that's what it is.
Right.
We're ending socialism.
Right.
These Republicans, and then these Democrats say this, Stephanie, these Republicans are fighting for socialism. They want uninsured people going to the emergency room and local taxpayers pick up the tab.
Yeah.
That's socialism, kids. Obama's trying to give a free market solution. The parties have switched sides and no one's noticed.
Oh, by the way, here's one of the weenie Democrats to whom he refers, Senator Mary Landrieu.
Ah, yes.
Yes, here she is.
Well, let's hope the president's guidance works. But if it does, hopefully the guidance will work. We may need some legislative power behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want her on my side in the bar fight.
You know who we need a little more of on our side? We need some Mayor Tom Fords.
Oh, you want to do this again?
Rob Ford, pardon me.
Oh, and the last thing was...
Henry Ford.
Again.
Jerry Ford
okay.
for Gucci.
Okay, because... Did this just happen?
Ford Prefect.
It did, John. Listen.
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondak. It says that I wanted to eat her pussy, Olivia Gondak. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
I said I want to eat her poutine, which is
that's what it was.
And, you know, I spilled some on the Chesterfield, so I need
a
serviette.
It's all a boot. She understood.
This
misunderstood.
Is all a racket. This is all staged designed to try to make Americans care about Canadian politics. It's not going to work, Canada.
Oh, I care now. Chris, how many times have we played that?
Oh, that's about the fifth or sixth time we played that this morning.
I had to ask him. I'm like, he didn't say the word, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he said it. It's Canada, Steph. Forget it, Jake. It's Ontario.
Really, you didn't have to tell us you have nothing to eat at home. We can.
I don't want to see a picture of her now, because that's going to be...
Oh.
Apparently, Mrs. Ford is on the front page of the Toronto newspaper this morning, and her face just kind of says it all.
What? Oh,
she's my daughter, my sister. My daughter, my sister.
I drunk out Catherine Zeta-Jones earlier.
Why
won't they... But that.
I salute Mayor Rob Ford and Mayor Tom Ford of Gucci.
Sure.
I totally salute him for this. We need to have more men standing up for... Eating at the Y.
Now
I think
for
it's a
years,
good thing.
He can't.
Do your duty, Mayor. Do your civic duty and take
now
care
for
of
years,
that beautiful woman.
He can't
woman.
Say, hey, honey, you want to eat out? Right?
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what I meant. I wasn't saying that again.
I mean,
look,
like,
all the
coffee crack
he's doing, he can't make it work anyway. He's got to get down and pray. So.
I'm just going to stay in my Mazda and eat my pasta.
Hey, Sue in Rockville, you're
Someone's
on.
Someone's driving their kids to school listening to this, and I applaud us on our use
right?
of code.
Yes.
Sue in Rockville, you're on with the stunningly beautiful John Fuel saying hello.
You know, having me follow Rob Ford, just not right. Not right at every level. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. And I also want to say to John, I'm so glad your boy is the 90th percentile for height and weight because my bar babies are the 10th percent. So we have to have the spectrum.
Wow.
So,
mine's
yeah,
99th
we
percentile for height, weight, head size, and obnoxiousness.
Yeah. Oh, we have the obnoxious at 100% across the board.
They're abusive.
Anyway, listen,
these
I have two different things
people.
I want to say. Okay. In California, automobile insurance costs less than it did in 1989. And that's because there's regulation of insurance hikes. A car insurance, the auto industry cannot increase rates without prior approval and to justify that. And compare that to the fact that in the second quarter, WellPoint's profits jumped 24% across the board, but California does not have any regulation of rate hikes.
Yes. Right.
So the rate hikes issue is a really fundamental issue in all of this, and the Obama administration, as they've been trying to do in the ACA, is say, you know, if the insurance company isn't spending at least 80% towards benefits, right now there are lawsuits pending because of the bait and switch. These people are bastard people. They tell you for austerity, they knock you. They did this on the back of denying benefits.
Hang on. I have a question. Madam, are you implying that regulation of this market in California has led to higher standards for an industry, protection for consumers, and generally better competition, so it's better capitalism? Is that what you're implying, madam?
Yes.
That higher standards work? Is that what you're saying?
And people, if they want to be ignorant, they need willfully ignorant people like Sarah Palin. You will never fix. All we can do is try to let the crap policies show them for what they are, and then people will hopefully begin to learn. There's nothing, Chris, by the way, Obama or any Democrat can do to convince stupid people to vote for their best interest. We can tell them, we can show them, we can give them free services like free mammograms or keep their kids on their insurance, you know, real benefits, close the loophole for seniors in medicine.
It's like the story of the guy that went to, you know, the Kentucky Care, you know, at the Kentucky Fair, and he's like, let me take a look at this. Oh, wow, this looks good, a lot better than Obamacare. And it's like, they're like, okay, you know, it is Obamacare.
Yes.
It's okay, not, good. It's not Obamacare. It's Kentucky Care. Here you go.
It's the voting against your own interests.
Kentucky Fried Care.
Yes, it's
unbelievable.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Sue.
But
appreciate
I
got to
say, is there anything more adorable, more precious, more heartwarming than a Republican politician who's outraged over cancel plans for the first time in their lives?
I know. It's all so new. You know, because we love John Finkelstein so much, our ecclesiastical MOOC, we really ought to play some Sarah Palin Christmas ornaments for him. She's a Christmas War on Christmas book.
I'm doing the Ed Show today to talk about it.
Okay.
I also talked about it on the Ed Show last week. I'm glad she's so relevant.
Right. Yes. She is slamming angry atheists. And also Christie's extreme weight, because that's what Jesus would do, is make fat jokes.
Oh, that's all Jesus did. He was hilarious. One glass of wine or water, whatever you're into. And Jesus was like, you know, 12 of those guys were rolling on the floor.
All right. We got it ready.
How many loaves of fishes and bread have you had, John? Hey, Tubby. Okay. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Click on some ornaments. Give John some early Christmas Hanukkah.
Did you see the Jake Tapper interview with her?
I mean, yes.
I've never seen a man try harder not to shake a person.
Go ahead.
Sadly, there are no Chick-fil-A restaurants in Alaska.
Right?
So the war on Christmas is the tip of the spear in a larger battle to secularize our culture and make true religious freedom a thing of America's past.
That's what we're up to.
Is this from her book on tape?
This is from her book on tape. Yep.
Right, but on a Christmas tree. You can click on the ornaments for little tidbits.
There are
like
few
this.
Things that capitalism? Anger a secular liberal atheist more than a horizontal plank intersecting a vertical plank across on public land.
Someone had a great quote about her in a Daily Beast piece. Justin Green, political correspondent for Bloomberg, said, Sarah Palin is an entertainer. She's not a politician anymore. She's the equivalent of Skid Row or one of those 80s bands that's out of the state festival circuit with the carnies and the farm animals playing their greatest hits and trying to earn a dollar.
Yeah, but guess what? People pay to see Skid Row at the fairs, and that's why Sarah Palin's still relevant. No Republican politician except Dick Cheney ever criticized her for being the quitter because they want her endorsement too bad. So she's still very powerful. That makes her relevant. And even if you stinking liberals think she's not relevant, we need to keep her relevant because she is the brand. You've got to think of her when you think of the GOP.
Another Republican consultant said, this is a product in search of reinvention. I'm not putting her down, but she's not the new thing anymore, and so I think she has to decide what her place in the GOP galaxy is.
Oh, boy.
How about the Big Dip?
You're right, but this
is... I'm not sure that's been decided by her or anyone else. Maybe not.
But you know what? You're right. It's not even like she's Skid Row. It's like if she was Skid Row covering a Warrant song at a state fair, because War on Christmas was Bill O'Reilly's greatest hits.
Right.
She's covering other people's material. And here's the thing, Steph. You know why they say happy holidays instead of because it's good for business. Right. Businesses don't want to alienate all their non-Christmas celebrating customers. So business is being more inclusive. And by being more inclusive, you're ironically using capitalism to be more Christian, because happy holidays is a lot more Christian than Merry Christmas. It's extending goodwill to all. So why does Sarah Palin hate capitalism?
Right. You want to be able to say, happy holidays, Mayor Ford.
Yes.
Thanks for eating.
I'm not worried about him having a happy holiday. He has resources.
He does. He has a very full unlimited life. Resources.
Chris Christie told him to slow down.
He got his wife a mistletoe belt buckle. 47 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Can't you see I'm burning alive? Can't you see my baby? Got another lover. I don't know how I'm gonna survive.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Live from New York City, 52 minutes after the hour. Mama in New York for the big Out 100 bash last night. John Fugelsang, Sexy Liberal, live in studio with me here in New York for Spice with Fugelsang.
Great to see you, Steph.
Thank you. I am going to, I'm making Roland go spinning with me again.
Very nice. I'm glad you're not making me. That's terrific.
I didn't know that was an option. You're running too busy running after the giant baby.
I know. I'm chasing a giant mutated baby at Times Square. He's like, they have Elmos?
That's like Rob Moranis needs to join this film, and then
I got a hello for you. I was doing a benefit for the LBGT Center in Kansas City, Missouri, two nights ago with Shelley Wright and Margaret Cho, and we had a great time. And a lot of folks there want Sexy Liberal to come to Missouri someday, which we'd love to make happen. You got a lot of fans over there, and Shelley Wright says hi.
We just texted because we're trying to get together while I'm here.
Lovely.
Lovely. So, I took Roland yesterday, theater producer Roland Stahel. And because pretty much everybody that's a spinning teacher here probably wants to be a Broadway actress.
Mm-hmm.
And the stuff she was talking about during the thing was, well, you know, I'm going to win the Tony, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it. It's like, I don't know, some sort of motivation. And Roland, like, literally made him insane. Like, he was about to, like, turn off her iPod and give her, like, the Debbie Allen speech from Fame.
That's funny, because that's the same pep talk.
This should be about your art. You don't worry about the Tony. This is where you start paying in sweat.
That's not what he said to me when I was off Broadway, and he was my agent. Think about the Tony. Think about the Tony.
I swear, the last Sexy
I'm like, Roland, it's a one-man show. No one's coming. Think about the Tony.
He is so Mama Rose. You remember after Last Sexy Liberal? Remember when we take our final bows?
Oh,
I'm like leaving because I'm ready to go, you know, drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, take your final bow. Seriously. I was like, oh, God, I was so scared. I'm like, okay.
That's why I love him. That's why I like doing theater.
Is that a rule in theater?
Take your final bow, Louise.
No, if the crowd wants it, you give it to them. You don't just take a bow and run off. Get back out there. They paid for this.
God, what if they keep clapping? Do you have to keep going out there?
Yes.
I'm really not an attention whore. I just want to get drinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a way to keep going out there and still keep them wanting more. Okay. Believe me.
All right. Okay.
All right. Dina in Maryland, you're on with John. Hi, Dina. Hello, Dina.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Steph, you look gorgeous in the magazine. Stunning.
Oh, thank you.
Loved it.
Not as handsome and romantic as Max and Fred.
Sarah Palin? Huh? Go ahead.
Not as handsome and romantic as Max and Fred, but thank
you. Well, yeah, but you really, that color was stunning on you. Did anybody catch her use the word spear, Sarah Palin? I mean, do you see how she throws those racist zingers in there?
Oh, boy.
Ever since
chucking and jiving on Benghazi, don't you know?
This is just a spear or something. And, John, I love you on Ed, and I've watched you last week, and I will watch you tonight.
Well, thank you.
My call is about Will Kane, who I just, my head
Will Kane?
Explode. Will Kane.
My old friend from CNN?
Was on CNN this morning. They are now comparing what's going on with the Affordable Care Act to Bush's Katrina.
That's funny, because if Bush was running this website, he'd be saying, heck of a job, Sebelius.
Yeah, exactly.
It is absolutely unbelievable how you can compare covering 4 million people.
The same thing. Thank you, Dana.
Yeah, to people begging for water and food and just leaving them there to die.
Yes, rather than trying to get stop people from dying.
Right.
That's exactly the same thing. Thank you, Dana. Appreciate you.
As opposed to website problems and insurance companies gouging people, which the president took responsibility for.
Oh, by the way, I was supposed to do Jane Velez Mitchell last night.
Yes.
Right, because I had a thing. I had a whole red carpet thing, so I had to get glamorized.
It was a great photo.
For everyone's
protection.
Everyone
needs to go check out the Out 100 list and see the picture of Stephanie. Mama here wore a dress on stage at the D.C. inaugural.
Oh,
I want to point that out.
Everyone saw my cooter.
She wore it. No, they didn't.
Yes, they did.
Well, she kind of sat on a stool and showed her cooter when she spread her
legs. That's why you buy the VIP tickets, Chris. What do you want?
Yeah.
Bring your speculum.
You know, Mayor Ford, come on down.
Oh.
Okay, to the next Sexy Liberal.
Yes, definitely.
Which is the final big 2013. He could go come down for that in Seattle.
He's a little too liberal for me.
Exactly.
I don't need my mayor smoking crack. You know, I'm as liberal as the next guy. But you know what? Unless he's on a platform of release these nonviolent drug offenders from prison, don't smoke crack while you're in office. It's a pretty simple formula.
How do you feel about him eating poutine?
Bruce, I think more men need to do that.
Bruce in New York, you're on with John. Hi, Bruce. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Bruce. How are you?
Good.
I just was going to say, I have a lot of Republican who like to call me to complain about all of these, you know, hiccups with the Obamacare rollout. And for those who try to say, you know, it's American, it's freedom to keep my old, you know, really bad plan, you know, my response has been very simple. You don't get to walk into the grocery store and say to the deli, you know, I can't afford the chicken in the case, and I really don't want to spend that much money. Do you have some day-old chicken in the back that I can buy? And you also don't get to walk into the car dealership and say, you know, this Chevy Volt is really nice, but I'm a good driver, so I don't need the airbags or the anti-lock brakes, so sell me one
right.
without
or
those
the seatbelts.
Right, or Jim said, you may want to, thank you for calling, you may want to order it with a steel dashboard with spikes.
Right.
Because we should live in a libertarian paradise.
I don't want a seatbelt because I don't want big government getting in my car with me.
Right. 58 minutes after the hour, more Fridays with Bugles Bang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Why? Such a delight to be in New York City. Well, for one thing, you get John Fugelsang live in person.
Oh, yeah.
For Fridays with Fugelsang.
That's right.
It is like looking directly into the sun. It is so stunning. And I did catch you looking at your spawn, and you were really like, yep, I made that.
He looks nothing like me. Have you noticed that? He looks nothing.
Listen, I'm
nothing
not saying like anything.
Me. Nothing. I said to her, I don't care if it's a boy or a girl, as long as it's really, really white. And I mean, I said, my baby better come out with little red rabies eyes. I want to see an albino mime baby.
You guys previously said you didn't care boy or girl as long as it's gay.
Yes, and we're still hoping he's gay. I've been coaching him. His first words were, bitch, please, so I think I'm doing it right.
Good. Oh, good, yeah. good.
Hey girl?
Hey, hasn't said hey girl yet, no. So he could be bi. I don't know. But that's okay. More options on a Friday.
I'm a good recruiter. I'm on it. I am on it. All right, kids, sexy liberal, as usual, selling like crazy. I believe, by the way, March 29th, Madison, about this close to being totally
so
sold out.
So excited to go back
and
to Madison.
By the way, going very, very fast. Yeah, this one.
Stephanie Miller is an American political commentator, comedian, and host of The Stephanie Miller Show.
Haven't I read that somewhere before?
May I continue? Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour brings together three liberal comedians for an evening of liberal humor and comment.
That's it. You're lifting the script straight from Wikipedia. Here, let me do this. On Saturday, February 15th, the original Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to Phoenix, Arizona, and will perform live at the Orpheum Theater.
The Orpheum Theater is a 1,364-seat theater.
Seriously, knock it off. Tickets are available by going to Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss your chance to see the authentic, one-of-a-kind, never-copied Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. February 15th, live at the Orpheum Theater. Get your tickets now. Go to Ticketmaster.com.
Woohoo!
Can't wait. Yeah. A long time.
Yeah,
long
baby.
Time away.
Love us in Phoenix. Tucson people, come on over. The final extravaganza, Chris Mahana Kwanzaa, Stefica extravaganza, December 14th in Seattle. That's February 15th in Phoenix, March 29th in Madison. And just announced yesterday, and going very, very quickly, May 10th in Albuquerque. And go get it.
I'm excited to go back to
Albuquerque. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook.
2 years since Albuquerque.
Yeah,
our first ever Sexy Liberal Chris Mahana Kwanzaa show.
Ooh.
We've never had a very special Sexy Liberal.
I remember Aisha and I were on the same plane for Santa Fe Sexy Liberal, and I remember she was larger than the plane.
Yes.
Tiny, teeny, cute little planes.
Little Buddy Holly
there.
Plane. Little big bopper seat. Yeah.
Right. And she was talking about how cute, you know, aqua everything was in the airport, and they were like, here's your bag. Would you like some pie?
Mm.
It's very, very sweet.
Yeah, Aisha.
We love the whole Southwestern meme.
Well, I like how courteous they were to her because they felt bad about her looks. You know, that was classy
of
them.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, she's got a great personality, though. What a heart. What a heart on that girl. Oh, heart as big as Texas, folks.
Right.
She doesn't let her limitations hold her back.
No,
I admire it so much.
She seems to be doing fine.
She's spunky. She's every girl's best friend.
Exactly.
Little Moxie.
Exactly.
I'm pulling for her. I really am.
All right.
When you get past the troll-ridden hag face, she just has so much potential.
Don't talk about Grub Ford's wife that way.
She's got nothing to complain about.
John and I will have
that boy can eat.
Some very exciting, sexy liberal surprises and things coming up to tell you about in 2014. What's that?
No, nothing. Mm-hmm. Rob Ford will be opening.
Yes.
And then the American media will pay attention to us.
All right. Now you're going to make us play it again. Ladies and gentlemen, Mayor Rob Ford of Toronto.
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondak. It says that I wanted to eat her pussy, Olivia Gondak. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Yikes. Oh. It's more appalling every time. He's graduated from crack to something much worse.
It's awesome.
He's freebasing Vicodin to be talking this way.
I can't get enough of it. Okay, let's go to Jeff in Illinois. You're on with John. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yes, I'm kind of a political radio junkie, and I kind of listen to everybody's station.
You flip around the dial, right?
Right. Yeah. You like to listen to both sides.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And the last time I was listening to your show, you guys were speaking of kind of the same thing, talking. The last thing I heard was this health care plan was fantastic in Kentucky and California, and it was just the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Well, those are the governor of that state.
Don't think I said that. I said it is working remarkably better in the states that have their own exchanges and are actively helping and promoting the law. 82% of the new enrollments come from blue states that are
not
using their own exchanges. Right.
And they're not turning down increased Medicaid funds for their sick and poor residents.
Right.
But
I just think that from your guys' standpoint of view, that maybe you could understand being the party of pro-choice, mm-hmm. that when people were told that they could keep their health care plan, and now they can't, you know, they're not given a choice.
Right.
So, no, the president said
you
can
are
choose
the party
to keep your
choice, correct?
Your plan if you'd like to.
Well, from my standpoint of view, sir, let me ask you. Do you get angry when health insurance companies cancel people's plans? Is that right to do?
I don't think it is right to do.
So you respect having the government, we the people, voted for health care reform twice.
Yes,
you think
sir,
it's good that we hold the health industry to a higher the health care insurance industry to a higher standard, right?
Well, once again, the insurance company did not have a choice. The party of pro-choice made the choice for them.
Right. That's clever. That's a clever meme.
I know.
However,
you worked on that, but what?
No, I know you worked hard on that.
How did they not have a choice, sir?
Okay.
Here, what John is alluding to is insurance companies have always canceled people. By the scads and scads every year, is it better to have them canceled because they've either hit a lifetime cap or they have a
pre-existing condition.
Like drunkenness, or is it better to have a plan canceled by less than like about 3% of Americans that have a plan canceled because it's a crappy plan that they're allowed to be canceled for all of those reasons? Is that to help the whole of our healthcare system? Do you think that's a better reason to get canceled or no?
Hey, they were told they could keep the policy.
Oh,
they
blah, 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 blah.
So
blah,
let me ask you, sir.
Can I ask you
what you're saying
question?
Is I'm anti-choice. That is so
question.
Clever.
Let me ask you another question. And it's 100% your party that created this healthcare law.
No, Republicans
actually.
Created it. Democrats enacted it.
Yeah, it was Bob Dole's plan. It was the Heritage Foundation's.
Mitt Romney made this a plan. It's a Republican plan, sir. Liberals wanted single payer. Go on.
Okay, but now it doesn't work. And it's the same thing that if I...
Oh, it doesn't work. It's only started. It's only been up for a month, the website. It doesn't work.
Yeah, the website has problems, but the actual plan does work, sir.
If I have a restaurant and I boast that I have the best food in town, and you guys eat there, and you think the food is crap, I mean... What am I going to say? You know, it's like I could say one thing,
it's a
but
bad
what
analogy.
You put
it's
out
a
there,
bad analogy.
The product speaks for itself.
The product is access to health care, sir. That's the product. And despite the website glitches,
right, that's the, free
the
market.
Law and the law gives people better access to health care. That's
well,
the product.
By the way, your crappy restaurant, that's the free market. Mayor
working.
Rob Ford would probably eat out there.
All right,
sir, do you like the GOP health care insurance plan better?
Do I like the GOP health care plan better?
Yeah,
I think that what they needed to do in the first place was just let people shop across state lines. It probably would have helped a lot.
They can do that now.
No, they can't, because then the reason why you can't shop across state lines is because then states with the strongest regulations would then be beholden to the states with the weakest regulations.
I agree with that, but I'm also asking, do you, sir, like the GOP? I mean, your website's working great, right?
Their website? They don't have a website.
Why not?
Why not?
Because they have no plan.
Because one side of the room said, "This is what it is. You're gonna like it, whether you like it or not." And people like Nancy Pelosi shoved it down people's throat. And
so the American people voted for health care reform, sir. What's the GOP's alternative? What do they want to replace it with once they repeal it?
I don't know. I can't tell you that.
Well, let me ask you one last question. And I appreciate that you're an impartial person who just listens around the dial. Sir, do you like the current system where uninsured people go to an emergency room and you, the local taxpayer, have to pick up the tab? Do you like that kind of socialism? Because Obama's presented a free market alternative.
Right. And what's going to be different about that? You think that
everything?
Everything.
No, it's not. It's not.
Listen, man,
it's
this is
the same thing.
You weren't mad when Medicare Part D rolled out and they had worse glitches than this. You already hated Obama. You can enjoy this all you want. He looks silly. He was man enough to take responsibility in his speech yesterday, something Bush never did after Katrina, something Bush never did after Medicare Part D or Iraq. And in a year, no one's going to care, and you'll have moved on to your next false flag Obama hate trip. So
there
enjoy it.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for calling, and good luck in the emergency room.
Because nice guy.
John Fugelsang has just made you the Black Knight. And I'm sure it's just a flesh wound.
He's a nice guy.
I didn't even think he saw those cuts coming.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter.
Poor fella.
You know, hate makes you happy. And you'll need a doctor, believe me.
Yeah. No, he's just standing there now, and now every limb just fell off because those cuts were so clean.
It's just
Surgeon Fugel saying we really salute you.
Yes.
He did not even really know what happened there.
It's adorable that he cares about people's plans being canceled. That's nice. It's so outrageous.
Arm just fell off with the phone
those
in his hand.
Those health insurance industries, man. The health insurance industry are such victims in all this. God. You sick people, how dare you?
Can you take out your organ, please, for my personal comedy, Jesus?
Right away.
Yeah, because we were, we've had such fun the last couple of years on the Sexy Liberal Tour, and we thought, how would we ever, John, get such comedy manna from heaven as we had during the last Republican primary? And now, here comes Ted Cruz. More importantly, Ted Cruz's dad.
Oh, here he is,
boy.
Please.
Let's review.
Yeah.
Has called the United States a Christian nation. He talks about death panels.
Yeah.
Social justice is a cancer. Gay rights is a conspiracy. The wicked in charge in Washington. Women are inferior to men as spiritual leaders.
Yes.
Obama is a Muslim.
He is
favoring, God-hating, Marxist Kenyan. The end times. He believes in the end times. Coming soon.
I think.
UN worldwide dictatorship. States' rights. Free markets overall. Rafael Cruz.
I think Rafael Cruz set the Knish factory on fire.
I think so.
Because America is a Christian
nation. Said,
so, suck on that!
Rafael Cruz said this week that atheism leads to child molestation, which really confused a few former altar boys out there.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow-wee. And by the way, I saw the way you were looking at your giant spawn there. Somebody was saying in this article, they said all you have to do is look at the father. So much of our life is mirroring, and Ted Cruz is mirroring his father.
Oh,
so
yes.
He is not just some crazy person. He's a guy he actively sends out to campaign for.
Oh,
him.
Yes. Ted Cruz is the Abraham Lincoln of Sarah Palin's.
Yeah. Is there going to be a Raphael beer, like Billy beer?
Oh, Raphael is the new Willard, which was the new Hussein.
All right. Wow. 18 minutes after
wait
the hour.
For this guy to run for president.
Raphael Willard Hussein Cruz.
It's going to be like jazz. It's going to be beautiful.
18 minutes after the hour. More Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I hope he never goes to jail because you know everybody in Oz is going to be singing this as they through.
Listen, this is why I got kicked out of the Out 100 thing. I twerked on Deborah Harry and then I giant foam fingered. Edie Windsor, and it was
but twerking Michael Medved actually pleased the crowd, from what I understand.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. Whole thing was
and his life peaked, so there was
right.
that. Yeah,
right. High strung, sexy liberal tour director Roland Scaher, a little more high strung this morning because what? Give me some sexy.
Why are
liberal
you
music.
Laughing? You're not supposed to be here.
The creepy guy that owns the show that's going to kill me for the life insurance money is here being creepy.
He's wearing a black fedora and laughing sinisterly in the corner.
Twirling his evil mustache.
Yeah.
Somebody
He's
takes
like
a lizard.
Dishonest John.
mm-hmm.
pointed out an incorrect link to Ticketmaster for the Phoenix Sexy Liberal. We should thank Nori. We have the correct link up. And now be careful, people, of these scalping sites, because it gives us a sad, doesn't it?
It makes us
sad pandas when people get caught by scalpers. Make sure you go directly to Sexy Liberal, Sexy Liberal on Facebook for the actual links for Seattle, Phoenix, Madison, and Albuquerque, all the Sexy Liberal shows that are on sale now.
Oh, it's going to be such a great year, man. I am so excited about the new material that we're going to be doing this year.
You didn't know your microphone was on, and you were starting talking about strategy.
I was chiding him.
And you almost told people things we have to kill them about.
He was twirling his mustache in the corner, laughing in a sinister way.
Right, the evil impresario, Ron Hartenbaum, is over there.
Yes, we're plotting world domination. But you know what? Right. It's going to be a really good year. I mean, I can't think of a midterm election.
Well, people are revved up for 2014. They really are. You know, between the shutdown and all this stuff that's going on with affordable care, people are really revved up.
It's like, you know what, my Republican friends? If you really, really want to inspire people to vote, try and take away their right to vote.
Right.
They will be turning out. All those folks that you thought voted for Obama and then didn't care anymore,
they
care now.
That happened already, John, in the last election. You know, black people take exception after how hard they fought for the right to vote. Really, really egregious voter suppression stuff they were trying to do, and they turned out in even larger numbers.
And it's not just black folks, you know. I mean, one of the points that we kept covering on Viewpoint all the time in the late lamented network that is no more was that
It's not currently on.
We're facing the east, but...
By the way, that's what we're talking about. We can announce our new TV home shortly, but not now.
Right, not currently.
Chris, you can confirm there are millions of boxes of things, of equipment that is going into the L.A. studio, and as soon as everything is set to go, we'll
make there'll be a little camera put up in the New York studio for the members of the family who live cross-country.
No.
Yes. He said to the guy in the corner, twirling his mustache.
No, as pretty as you are, no. Nah.
But you know what? It's going to be a huge year, but by gutting the Voting Rights Act, they didn't just hurt black folks. They hurt seniors, as we saw with Jim Wright. They hurt college kids.
Right.
There are voting areas in this country where you can vote with an NRA ID, but not a college ID.
Yeah.
And lower-income Americans all over the place, because if you have to pay to get an ID to vote, that's a poll tax, pal. We're the conservatives on this.
Yep.
It's a right, not a privilege.
You want to tax Polish people? How dare you?
What if I do?
I'm a Pole. I'm a Polak. What? Okay. Paul in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I would be a whole lot more concerned about the problems with the rollout of the Affordable Care Act if the Republicans were pushing an alternative that I really didn't like.
Right.
But they don't have anything.
Yes. The alternative is go back to all the crap we had, right? Get lifetime tax.
That's their alternative.
Pre-existing conditions.
The status quo is their alternative.
They can not know 80-20 law, right?
We're not going back to that. That's the whole point. It's not only do they don't have an alternative.
Yeah.
It's still, we're going forward. The toothpaste is out of the tube, so to speak.
I feel about it the same way I feel about my 80s hair. I am not going back to that.
No.
Paul, I'm not going. Thank you for calling.
You still have your crimping iron.
I do.
I was reading a review of Doris Kearns Goodwin's new book about Roosevelt and Taft and 100 years ago in the presidential campaign of 1908, how it was all, or 1912 rather, it was all four liberals running for office. You had Woodrow Wilson with the Democrats, Taft, the liberal Republican, Gene Debs, and then you had Teddy Roosevelt running as the candidate for the Progressive Party.
Right.
I mean, four different progressives at once. Can you imagine how we got to this point where you've got the Republicans arguing the status quo and the Democrats arguing for a health plan created by Republicans?
Yep. Listen, we've always had to work through obstacles. John can tell you and Jim. What I was just trying to do a program through right now is the creepy guy that owns the show.
Can he make more noise, by the way? Should I give him some, like, cutlery?
Seriously, he was 4 inches from me, Chris. He was picking up my show prep and looking at it. He was under the thing trying to plug his iPhone in. It's like having a toddler.
He's a swarthy person.
Except for a toddler that signs the checks for this show. However,
so there's not much we can do.
I was like, don't you really? You had to use the plug right under me.
Look at him.
He
just brought in a buffet with him. My toddler didn't make any noise in the studio.
What are you? Exactly. Your toddler was better behaved than the creepy guy that owns the show.
Look at this. He's chewing with his mouth open. He's wearing white after Labor Day.
Why are you trying to plug in right between my legs? What are you, Mayor Ford? What are you? There's another plug in the other room. I'm doing a show here.
I got all the plugs I want to eat at home.
Oh, my God.
Really, you know what this is like, crawling around on your feet?
Well, that's...
Picking up your things. What's this? It's my show prep. Put that down.
Is he doing this while you're on the air?
Yes,
he's doing it. Now he's sitting there with a big sandwich.
Ron! Stop that!
Making faces and flashing gang signs because he was with the Crips for like 2 years.
Right.
And he did their accounting. That's all he did.
Yeah, the Upper East Side Crips.
Yes, he was the Upper East Side Crips accountant in valet parking.
Crips
got to get a return, too.
I was almost going to be home alone in their cavernous apartment on the Upper East Side this time, but they're renovating, and the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have enough like surgical equipment and things to wear and no shoes, and there's some other rules. Okay, 29 minutes after the
water
hour,
only.
Right back. More Fridays with Beagle Fang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Nine-letter word for drinking problem.
Stephanie Miller.
You just went from the Hooters to the Doobie Brothers. I respect you.
Yeah, we play all kinds.
Yeah. Takes me back to my rock jock days. Because they ain't related, but they do.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-1-2-4, number toll-free from anywhere. All right.
No one ever had a problem with a name for that being a name for a band.
Go to Ticketmaster for the link for the Phoenix show. Rowan's about to have a exploding ball syndrome.
The Blunt Sisters would freak people out, but Doobie Brothers? No controversy.
Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2. We are in the midst of the Fridays with Fugelsang. Steph in the New York Bureau. Thanks for all your nice comments on the picture from Out 100. Mama went to the big Out 100 bash last night at Terminal 5 in New York City. Me, out at night, in a dress, like a girl.
In a dress. Yeah. With a slit up to your,
right?
Oh, you could see all the way to Miami in that thing. That was fantastic.
Thank you, Mayor Ford.
But I am telling you, she wore a dress on stage at our D.C. show for the inaugural.
I did. I don't recall. Okay. Let's go.
Give a dog a bone, trust me.
Hi!
Okay. Corky in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Corky. Corky, go ahead.
Yes, hello.
I
want to talk you off the ledge. President Obama's sucking these guys in. Because when you go to tell these people, you can have your old plan. But this is what it don't cover.
Yep.
Nobody's going to buy it because it's not worth anything to you. So what do you think these guys are going to say when the people come back and say, well, I don't want to keep my old plan now? Are they going to put that all over Fox News?
Corky, that's what I said. It's like people saying, I want to keep my cancerous mole. We need to take that. No, I want it. Okay.
It takes a long time to get Americans to do what's good for them. You know, think about how long it took smoking to get under control. If you live in New York, we had the tokens. They brought out MetroCard. It was a better deal. New Yorkers were like, get your MetroCard away from me. I like my tokens. It took like 5 years to wean New Yorkers off MetroCard.
I am old enough to remember, seatbelt laws when they first came in and cell phone laws in the car. And I'm like, what?
Big government.
Man, keeping me down.
Mm-hmm.
Do what I want.
Nelson. Evolution takes a while.
Right. Nelson in Minneapolis. Hi, Nelson. You're on with John.
Hi, guys. Listen, Jim, Chris.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Someone's being
condescending. Oh, it's that tone you use with me, Chris.
I'm really tired of the weak in the knees Democrats who are sitting. People wonder why Obama doesn't work with these folks more. When they're whining like little girls all the time,
not whining like little girls, just seeing, reality.
what are you talking about?
This plan is working. Let me give you a little anecdote about how this plan is working.
Please.
I go into Target yesterday for a pharmacy. My daughter suffers from an ovarian cyst, which, as Stephanie will tell you, is extremely painful and not fun. She's not very old.
I don't have one, but I know what you mean because I have girl parts, technically.
Exactly. That's right. I'm sure you have friends who have had these, and they are nasty.
Yeah.
She has to take birth control to help control these things. I walk into Target Pharmacy, lovely pharmacy, and I go there because there's a Starbucks nearby if I have enough money to buy a cup of coffee. So I go in there, and I'm going, okay, I need to pay for my daughter's medication. They say, you know what? It's free. It's free. So what do? I take the medication. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that because there's a rule in the ACA that says if you've had your health care plan for a certain amount of time and you need this kind of stuff, it's paid for. Awesome. So I walk down to Starbucks and I buy a cup of coffee. So in other words, I'm helping the economy by adding more to the economy. And I leave the person a tip because they don't get paid as much as I do.
Yep.
And email because they work hard. And so this is what people need to do. Because
you scored pills and speed on one trip.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
For you.
Oh, hey. I'm a coffee.
Listen, Rush Limbaugh needs a housekeeper to do that. You did that on
that's
your
like
own.
That's like one cop. That's
hey,
awesome.
You know, I have to. I'm addicted. It's just the way it is. But here's what I'll say one more thing and I'll go. People need to just open up Notepad and list, and John, you can help them with this before the end of the show, list all of the stuff that's enacted now the Republicans want to take away. Pre-existing conditions, lifetime caps, birth control like this, other things. Put it in Notepad. And every time you go on HuffPo or any one of these other sites where you see all the trolls going laughing, ha, 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 just paste this. Log in, paste it, put it in a statement saying, and this is what the Republicans will gut. And then just leave it up there. And all liberals need to just do this. Because this is, we don't see enough response from us. And we need to do it. But I will say one more thing and I'll go. Jim, I you know, a lot of times when you come with conspiracy theories, my head just kind of goes, okay, to another place. But I will say this in support of you. This whole kerfuffle with the insurance companies cutting people off and this whole terrible thing that's going on with the insurance companies is probably the best argument I've ever seen for single payer.
Yep.
Thank you. Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So
Nelson.
I'm showing you some love, Jim.
Aw. See? And it's the last dying.
We all got love. You and by the way, now there's going to can I have some breaking news music? Because now there's going to be something that brings us all together. Mayor Rob Ford is getting a reality show. Seriously?
Yes.
Salon is reporting.
Yes.
Wow.
He is.
He's going to be paid in
poutine. The head of a Sun News network there said, we are in the age of reality TV. It doesn't get more real than the Fords.
Canada is so much better than us.
Because he's got a doofy brother and sister, too. Right?
Oh, I hope
his brother's like on. His brother's on the Toronto City Council or something like that.
Right.
Is his brother a Roger Clinton or a Billy Carter?
Well, his brother said Rob is like Howard Stern or Rush Limbaugh. Without the talent. Okay. You just never know what he's going to say.
That's great. And when you're an elected official who doesn't mind draconian drug laws, but you use the same drugs because you're white and have money.
Right.
So funny how it works that way.
And go to the Toronto Star's website and look at the picture of Rob Ford with his wife right next to him.
Ooh.
The look on her face. Oh, God.
Oh, I got to see. I want to see what his wife looks like because it sounds like she has a fun home life.
She's
looks like she's saying ixnay on the Ilingus, eh?
Well,
she
that looks guy's like got an appetite.
She's got the, you know, Michaela's disappointed face.
Yeah.
If she were 100.
How do you say that in Pig Latin? Ixnay on the
he is not the master of his own appetites, but he needs to stay home and take care of his wife instead of the other stuff.
All right. Okay. Debbie in Texas.
So mean.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Oh, God.
Hey, Debbie.
Hi, Deb.
Hello.
Hello, Debbie. Go ahead.
Ah, thank you. I just wanted to make two comments. I love your show. I've never called into any show before, so I'm a little excited here. But I live in Austin, a blue city, and of course, you know, Texas is a red state. But I'm commenting this morning on the hullabaloo about the website glitches and whatnot. And no, it is inconvenient.
You get extra word points just for using the word hullabaloo. That's a new
sorry.
One.
Well, I'm Hullabaloo by Digby, that website, so maybe that's where I got that from. But
glitch, please.
Anyway, I am actually going to switch my young, healthy teenage son over to the ACA marketplace because my insurance that I do get for him through my employer has just gone up by $20 or so. And so I was just shopping around. I mean, he's got insurance already, but I found out I could get a platinum plan for him for like $50 cheaper. And, you know, I have a family budget, so I'm going to save that $50 and get him better care or just as good when we make the switch. And so I'm only one person, and I know that there are other working mothers out there that are doing exactly the same thing because they've got to stretch the family budget and they want the best they can get for their children. And another point quickly is really a comment on the Will Cain report this morning where, you know, people are actually comparing, you know, these slip-ups and glitches that are quite common, by the way, when something this big is rolled out. But they always compare these faux scandals under the Obama administration to actual scandals that have occurred under Republican administrations. And it's
Yes, this is Obama's Katrina, as you've
heard. Yeah,
actual scandals they weren't upset about under a Republican administration.
Yeah, the same thing happened with Benghazi and the IRS faux scandal. Mm-hmm. They compared that to Nixon's Watergate. And
right.
My friend
everything
asked
is, no, everything's worse than Watergate.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
It's Gategate.
Right.
My 14-year-old self-absorbed son asked me, Mom, what's Watergate? So I had an opportunity to kind of crystallize the past. And it really occurred to me when I was talking to him that they keep bringing up scandals under the Republican administrations that are truly scandalous. I mean, mm-hmm. some of the most mm-hmm. corrupt stuff in history here.
They never bring up Iran-Contra.
Yeah, not yet. But somebody will because they're caught in this old, tired paradigm.
Wait a minute.
And what they're trying to do is minimize the actual scandals that have occurred.
Yeah, exactly.
Under
well, exactly. All right. Thank you for calling.
More importantly,
yeah.
Those
saying,
are folklore,
have,
those scandals.
Yeah.
I have
more importantly,
crisis fatigue. I can't look at one more whatever.
You know a self-absorbed 14-year-old? I've never heard of such a thing.
Jim, as you said, how will we know when something's actually really gone wrong? How will we know if there's an actual crisis?
Yeah, you know what? If this would be Bush's Katrina if we knew it was coming and we didn't do anything and people got killed and no one cared, then it would
right.
be Obama's Katrina.
And
right.
the guy in charge was having dinner in another city.
And if he said, heck of a job, Sebelius.
Right. Didn't Rocky Mountain Mike send us some emergency? Is it a troll alert or something? But we need that. We need to know where to tune in case there is an actual emergency of some sort and not just a trumped-up gate. I hope something does malfunction with a gate, John, so that we can have a gate.
Gate. We need a gate. We need to find a new suffix gate.
Exactly. All right. Let's do one more quick one. Gene in Minneapolis. Hi, Gene. Hello, Gene.
Hi, Steph and the Moops. I have an example from my own life that makes me want people to really understand the implications of Obamacare. When I was 25, I was a graduate student. I had to move back in with my parents to afford it, but I wanted to be a responsible person. I bought insurance. I was a healthy young person, and then I was diagnosed with cancer. My insurance was one of these junk crap policies that only covered a third of the cost. Unlike that Farmer Jones who called you earlier this week and said that he'd paid enough taxes and if he got sick, he would just suck off the government teat. I was a responsible citizen. I paid. It took me years and years and years, but I paid for the remaining two-thirds. I wish to God there had been Obamacare at that time. I would have gladly gone onto my parents' insurance policy or paid for something that really would have covered me. And I'd like to just say one other thing. Fast forward, I'm now in my 50s. My employer is offering a package. I qualify and I could retire, but I'm not going to because I don't trust that I could have insurance. And I could under Obamacare, but if the Republicans wreck this train too, then I wouldn't qualify for it because of pre-existing conditions. So I stay in the job market. I occupy a job that has a salary for me that's twice what they could hire young people for. So now I hope those two young people out there who don't get to have a job because I have to stay in mine are going to be upset enough about it to vote for Democrats in 2014.
Yeah, and also remember that by letting young people be covered under their parents' plans until they're 26, that encourages businesses to hire young people. It's good for jobs.
Yep, there you go.
Because they won't
you,
have
Gene.
To pay on insurance.
Very good point, Seth. 46 minutes after the hour, we continue with the remaining moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you guys okay?
Yes.
Are you just finishing up?
We have a lot of plans and things that are happening.
We're deep in thought.
We have a lot of business to
It sounds like you're
to.
Just finishing doing something.
No.
We're looking on the bright side of life.
Oh? Mm-hmm.
We just did a brief homage to Mayor Kors.
That's what it sounded like.
Thank you. That was really something, John.
Thank you. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. We've turned this into our little crack den.
Ooh, thank God your wife and child left.
Are we gonna be having a Christmas miracle?
That'd only be the second time in history.
Immaculate contraception.
Yes.
Stephanie's not going to squeeze out a baby that size. She'd just explode.
Oh, boy. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, I forgot to ask. How about a Madison one? How about that? Because Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang live in studio.
All right.
We were just talking about how excited we are about Sexy Liberal. December 14th, the Chris Mahana Kwanzaa show in Seattle. Going very, very quickly. Can't wait to... we just sold out Chicago Theater, as you know, in April. And then the Warner Theater in D.C. This was our long-promised West Coast third Sexy Liberal, Seattle. And then we've got February 15th, Phoenix. May 10th, Albuquerque, just announced yesterday, and then hit it!
Once upon a time, there was a girl named Stephanie who gathered a ragtag band of progressive jesters to rid the land of the great conservative darkness. And history was made in the great city of Madison when the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour was born.
Seems like a long time ago.
And now is their triumphant midterm election return.
We're putting the band back together.
Yes, we can.
On March 29th, Stephanie Miller and her merry, marauding collection of Sexy Liberal comics will return to where it all started, the Barrymore Theater in Madison, Wisconsin. Tickets are available online at barrymorelive.com. Don't miss the midterm mayhem and an early Scott Walker retirement party.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, March 29th at the Barrymore Theater. Go to barrymorelive.com.
I'll go just to hear that song.
What's that?
I'll go just to hear that song. I love that
song.
Right? Yeah.
It's so many Sexy Liberal memories. I remember, first of all, in Detroit, where, Aretha Franklin was there.
And that was amazing.
There were rumors of her almost laughing her hat off.
Well, you could
her
hear
bedazzled
her.
Hat.
You could hear Aretha brought like a huge entourage of like a dozen people, and she paid for the tickets herself.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she took over the whole balcony section, and the whole crowd knew she was there because people were tweeting photos of her there
right.
and hashtagging it Sexy Liberal. So then she was like, you could hear her laugh the entire night through the Opera House.
Right. And you and Aisha and I were playing right next to that night Kenny Chesney, so it was funny watching the different audiences.
Yes. And Lil Wayne. It was Lil Wayne, Kenny Chesney, and Sexy Liberal took over Detroit. Right downtown on the same night, and we drowned out Tigers
God.
Games. Yes.
That had to have been a motley crew.
I traveled the whole way with Aisha and was single at the time, as I tend to be, being a single loser. And I remember, I'll never forget being subjected to, you know, she's been married to her college sweetheart.
Lucky bastard of a husband.
Lucky
yes.
bastard.
I call him lucky bastard. I won't acknowledge the man when I see him.
She is the cracker that she likes to lick, as she says. And... Anyway, but he's handsome. They're madly in love. Been together
for
years.
It's disgusting.
And so I remember all I remember is a cab ride from the Detroit airport to our hotel because I had traveled there with her from L.A. And the entire way in the car, this was the conversation. Huh, honey, I miss you too. Oh, I know. Thank you so much for packing my hard-boiled and packing
God.
The salt and the pepper
again,
separately.
But you have to understand, when you're cursed with looks like Aisha Tyler, you got to be grateful for anyone who'll pay attention to you.
Oh,
poor girl.
I know.
You know, why do you make fun of the girl? She found a guy who can love her for what she is. Don't put that down. That's precious and sacred. That's real love if you can...
I know. I just rolled a window down.
Can I plug something?
I certainly hope I didn't hurt the property values in Detroit, but I did.
Well,
I don't think
yes,
that's
you managed to hurt the property values in Detroit, right. Stephanie.
Right. I'm sorry. Would you like to plug
something? I'd like to plug. Thank you. Monday night, I've got two shows if you're in New York City. I'm doing a benefit, a fundraiser for Texas Women with Liz Winstead and Sarah Silverman. And that's going to be, you can see the three of us at Bowery Electric Monday. That show starts at 7 p.m. And I'll put all that on my social media. Then later Monday night, I'm doing a 30-minute set at 10 p.m. in Greenwich Village at Cornelia Street. So I got one little show where I'm doing a big set and one big show where I'm doing a little set. And I'll put both of those up. If you're in New York City Monday night,
right.
Have a good time.
Chicks dig John Fugelsang. Trust me, I can attest to it.
Yes, they dig me. They ask me to. They come to me. They flock to me in droves to tell me about the men they're madly in love with.
Hey, speaking of comedy,
I'm the guy they can talk to.
Speaking of comedy geniuses, Jim, George W. Bush will be heading to Jay Leno's show.
After headlining Jews for Jesus, you heard about that, right?
No.
Oh, you guys didn't hear this last night?
Oh, God.
Last night George Bush. George W. Bush, who I guess isn't getting flooded with speaking offers, spoke to the Messianic Jews, the Jews for Jesus people.
Wow.
Well, he's already been a big hit with pro-lifers for the death penalty and Christians for torture, so why not Jews for Jesus?
Oops, I accidentally burned down the Knish factory.
Sure, he really spoke to them last night. There's really few ways of saying, screw you, Israel, than getting paid to speak
Don't
to Jews for Jesus.
Jay Leno asks of his entire administration, what were you thinking?
We weren't very hard on you, President Bush.
By the way, speaking of late-night shows, did you see the headline, something some dumb kid said on Jimmy Kimmel Live may end up starting World War III?
Yeah.
Did you hear about this? A six-year-old was on. He was asked how the U.S. Should resolve it in China, and he said, kill everyone in China. As kids do.
From the mouths of Nazi babes.
Yeah, so there's been quite a few protests, and Jimmy Kimmel had to record a mea culpa insisting he does not agree.
In Mandarin or Cantonese?
I don't know.
There's no way to kill everyone in China anyway, because they'd be reproducing the whole time you're trying to kill them.
Louise Fugelsang.
You wouldn't run out. It's been
just
tried.
When we almost converted World War III, you
actually,
started again on my
He's on to something, because did you see that just yesterday they rescinded their one child per family policy?
Uh-oh.
Wow.
So they're about ready to take over the world. They're creating their own armies.
Wow. By the way, yikes. By the way, Forrest Whitaker once turned down playing the role of President Obama in My Name is Khan. He said, I was asked if I would play President Obama. I didn't feel comfortable with it, partly because he was still in office, mainly because I felt there were other people who could be better.
Partially because they looked nothing alike.
Well, I was just going to say, they look nothing alike.
What, you're black? What?
It is inherently racist, even thinking of casting him as President Obama.
Let's offer to the midget from Bad Santa. He's black.
I love you, John Fugelsang. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Get those tickets. They're all going fast. We will see you Monday on the
Seattle. See you in Seattle.